Once upon a time, there were three boys who went to have a webcast. Two from Rockford College, the other from Lewis University, and they were each assigned very hazardous duties.
Hello, and welcome to TwerpCast, episode 55. This is a repeat. This is a repeat. And speaking of repeats, we will be discussing the 2011 remake of Charlie's Angels, the TV show. I'd like to introduce you to Charlie number one, James Caswell, executive producer of TwerpCast. And I'd also like to introduce you to special guest Charlie number two, Ken Halloran.
You know we've got a rule against referring to Ken as number two. And that's Charlie number three, Doug Zeitlin, otherwise known as Bosley.
In the spirit of our past TwerpCast, the Bionicast, KitCast, and VCast, we're going to feature a classic TV show from our youth.
V for Vendetta was a TV show?
And if the trend holds, Charlie's Angels won't even make a full season.
We do know how to pick the wieners. I mean winners.
I don't want to think about wieners at the same time I'm thinking about Charlie's Angels. It's just wrong.
That's the reason why Tony's Boys didn't work.
And here I thought it was just because it wasn't a very good concept.
Well, Jim, what does Charlie's Angels have in common with Dynasty, Starsky and Hutch, Family, Hotel, The Rookies, Beverly Hills, 90210, Melrose Place, The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, Vegas, Heart to Heart, The Colbys, T.J. Hooker, The Nightingales?
I'll cut you off there. They were all produced by Aaron Spelling. Yeah, for those of you under the age of 40, yes, that was Tori's dad. He was the TV producer for the 70s and the 80s. Charlie's Angels aired from September 22, 1976 to June 24, 1981. The premise was that three policewomen who were very skilled at their job, but didn't get the recognition that they deserved because they were females, are hired by a mysterious millionaire to be private detectives.
So in its own way, it was a show that was really ahead of its time.
Actually, it was very much a product of its time. It was right when Women's Lib and Treat Women Equally was the big thing to push. It wasn't ahead of its time. It was right at the forefront.
True. And it was also kind of following at about the same time, maybe a season behind Policewoman, which was another one of those, we can do the job just as well as the man can.
And look good doing it.
While the show is often written off as jiggle TV by its critics, the show featured good mystery stories and launched the career of Farrah Fawcett, the sex symbol of the generation.
I don't know that she was the sex symbol of the generation. She was a sex symbol of the generation, and probably in the top 10, I will grant you, but I'm not sure if I would count her as the sex symbol of the generation.
Well, as we've said, everyone who listens to TwerpCast has the right to their own opinion, even if it's wrong.
So which one of us is wrong? Well, the sad thing is, my favorite Farrah Fawcett anecdote is actually about her funeral. When Ryan O'Neill, freshly widowed because, he finally had married Farrah after living in sin with her for decades. His wife had just died, so he's at her funeral and he finds a pretty girl to hit on, and it turns out it's his daughter Tatum.
Moving on. The show also starred Kate Jackson, who later went on to do Scarecrow and Mrs. King, Jacqueline Smith, who went on to design clothing. No, she did a lot more than that, but...
mostly TV movies and such.
Yeah. Cheryl Ladd, Shelley Hack, who, let's face facts, that name says a lot about her acting talent.
Well, I think she got hired because just prior to her being on Charlie's Angels, she was the model in all the commercials for the perfume named Charlie.
Yeah, that's a good reason to cast somebody. Tanya Roberts, who, honestly, other than Farrah Fawcett herself, probably had the most prolific career, which is just kind of a sad statement. But she went on to do Sheena, Beastmaster, A View to a Kill, and That 70s Show.
So she did the James Bond movie that almost killed the franchise.
Yes, she did.
I never saw the That 70s Show, but those three movies that she was in, I can at least say I've seen it. I don't know that I've ever seen a Farrah Fawcett movie. I mean, there's that whole The Burning Bed, but I have a Y chromosome.
And, of course, it had David Doyle as Bosley and John Forsythe as the voice of Charlie, who later went on to do Dynasty. Actually, he'd been known for a lot more before that, but...
well, let's be honest. For our generation, he was Charlie and Blake Carrington. I mean, that was pretty much it.
Yeah. For our dad's generation, he was in a lot more stuff. But for our generation, it was Charlie and Blake. Now, Charlie's Angels was a pretty good moneymaker for the first couple of years for ABC. It was something new. It was something different.
It had boobs. I believe it was Farrah Fawcett herself who said that she knew that when they made it to number 3 on the Nielsen charts that they had good scripts. But when they made it to number 1, she knew that people realized that they were going braless.
And she did.
Either that or it was awfully cold in Southern California.
But ABC did very little to actually capitalize on that popularity until it was too late. In the 4th year of Charlie's Angels, they tried to produce a spinoff called Tony's Boys, which was the exact opposite of Charlie's Angels. It was about a female millionaire who had a bunch of guys working for her as private detectives. And it just never made it beyond
the obligatory, let's do a backdoor pilot as an episode of this TV show.
Right. And A, it didn't have that strong of a cast, and B, that cast didn't have things that jiggled nicely.
People in America don't want to see private dicks. They'd rather see the tits.
Actually, I think the idea was trying to appeal to the demographic in reverse. I mean, okay, we watch the show and we're all guys. There is a correlation there. I think the idea was, okay, let's make a beefcake show for the women to watch.
The problem is, though, that guys will watch shows with strong women who are very attractive. Women want to watch shows that have strong female leads. They aren't as obsessed with the physicality as we are, or at least they weren't at that time.
Or we weren't supposed to realize it if they were.
As opposed to now, where things like MTV sells nothing but sex.
Silly women. They want things like story and plot.
How dare they?
Or just one strong guy. I mean, Magnum P.I. There was a show that, as far as I can tell, was popular because the women wanted the character, or guys watched it because they wanted to be the lead character. But Tony's Boys, it was just bad. That and the fact that by that time, Charlie's Angels itself was, I mean, we've already commented on Shelley Hack, but part of it was, honestly, I think that once they lost Kate Jackson, who was attractive, yes, but was certainly the anti-jiggle on this jiggle show.
She was the brains of the organization, besides Charlie. And when she was replaced, it's not like when they lost Farrah Fawcett and they were able to go, okay, let's just put another pretty face in there. And Cheryl Ladd was more than a pretty face, but she also was kind of a carbon copy of Farrah Fawcett. I mean, she was playing her sister. When you take out the brains of the organization and put in more jiggle, actually Shelley Hack didn't have that much jiggle either, but Shelley Hack couldn't pull off the brains of the organization nearly as well as Kate Jackson did.
And when they got to Tanya Roberts, they didn't even try. Because by then it's like, okay, we got two former police officers and an ex-model.
What? But I look good doing it! Look, I can hold a gun! It's pointing at you. Oh, well!
Well, Ken, you may make fun of the model as a private detective, but Pamela Anderson and her VIP crew got 4 years out of that premise.
It was in syndication, but it was 4 years. Of course, Baywatch got 1 year on network TV and like 300 years on syndication.
Yeah, the network really blew it on that one. That became the most watched television show in the world.
Well, the other part of it is that model was, in fact, Tanya Roberts, and what was it you said about what she did to the James Bond franchise?
It nearly killed it.
Well, I'll be honest. I think Grace Jones deserves some of the credit for that massacre, too.
I think there's enough manure in that movie to pass blame around all the way. I mean, Roger Moore was in the movie for the money.
And honestly, he was well past his sell-by date.
And it's not exactly Christopher Walken's number one performance either.
Yes, but Grace Jones has the distinction of being the world's number one Bond hermaphrodite.
Yeah, was I the only one that was more than just a little grossed out by Roger Moore making out with Tanya Roberts? It was like some woman kissing her grandfather or somebody dating Hugh Hefner. So yeah, after Tony's Boys failed, Charlie's Angels only had another season left, the Tanya Roberts year, which they've released the first 4 seasons of Charlie's Angels on DVD, but for some reason they're just not releasing that one yet. I wonder why. Oh, maybe because it really sucked. And not in a good way. But even for being canceled for 7 years, ABC still saw some value in the concept of Charlie's Angels and decided in 1988 that they wanted to revisit it. And when they weren't able to get it up and running in 88, they changed it to Angels 89.
It was going to star Claire Yarlett.
Never heard of her.
Sandra Channing.
Never heard of her.
Karen Coppins, who had previously done Once Bitten. Karen Coppins was the teenage love interest of Jim Carrey in Once Bitten. And Tia Leone, who would go on to make movies with Jim Carrey.
And Babies with David Duchovny. Yeah, this was going to be her breakout role, and, well, that ended up becoming Bad Boys that would be her breakout role.
Now, the thing about Once Bitten, I'm just going to mention this, is when they show it on satellite TV, you turn it on, it'll list Karen Coppins, Lauren Hutton, and Clifton Little. It doesn't list Jim Carrey, who's playing the lead character. And I don't get that. Could be because it was Jim Carrey before Jim Carrey became Jim Carrey.
But one of the reasons why they were wanting to revisit this was that it was about the same time as the strikes that were taking place in the late 80s, and they were going back and they were revisiting old show concepts. It was in 1988 that the new Mission Impossible came out. So there's a pretty good chance that they were re-mining the Charlie's Angels idea because all the writers were on strike.
This is a repeat. This is a repeat.
Were they going to just recycle scripts?
Well, they were supposed to have 4 angels as opposed to 3. So I don't know how much recycling of the scripts were actually going to happen, or if this was coming about towards the end of the strike and they needed concepts that they could write scripts for. But they didn't get it into production in 88. They didn't get into production in 89. And they basically just gave up on the idea. But they had at least gotten to the point where they had done casting. Then, of course, the foreign countries wanted to get their fingers into the pie, no pun intended. And both Mexico and Germany created their own versions of the Charlie's Angels show, and both of them really kind of failed miserably. Which says something, because Telemundo stuff really has a long shelf life, because, well, sex sells even more in foreign countries.
Angelus. Wild Angel.
So that takes us to the turn of the century.
Turn of the millennium.
Yeah.
Millennium, by the way, was also a Cheryl Ladd movie that she did after Charlie's Angels.
Man, actually, it was a pretty good science fiction film.
But anyway, Turn of the Millennium.
Drew Barrymore's production company got the rights to the Charlie's Angels franchise and decided to make a movie called Charlie's Angels, starring Drew Barrymore, big shocker there, Cameron Diaz, and Lucy Liu.
With Bill Murray as Bosley and John Forsythe repeating the voice of Charlie.
Correct. Which, casting Bill Murray as Bosley, I thought was just hilarious. He did a really good job with that. While the TV show was about mysteries and boobs, the movie was about action and boobs. There really wasn't a whole lot of detective work going on as much as going on out and fighting crime with martial arts type stuff. In fact, they often made cracks about them being superheroes and having secret identities within the movie.
I actually think of that movie more of being about legs than boobs, honestly.
The movie did well in the box office, sparking a sequel, Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, at which point they replaced Bill Murray as Bosley with Bernie Mac.
I'm assuming it was a case of Bill Murray not wanting to come back.
And then wanting to still keep a humor element to it, and, well, Bernie Mac was hot at the time, and, well, the idea of implying that Bill Murray was the only white guy in the Bosley family did have at least 30 seconds worth of humor value to it.
Well, it implies that David Doyle had been one once upon a time. And, okay, in case you haven't seen this movie from 8 years ago and are thinking about seeing it, here's a spoiler. By the end of the movie, Lewis Stevens becomes a member of the Bosley family. Sheila Booth. At that point, he'd been most famous for playing Lewis Stevens on Even Stevens on the Disney Channel.
See, I thought somebody just rolled over a rock and found him laying under there, but...
No, he did have some TV cred behind him. Granted, it was Disney, but...
You say that as if the Disney clan doesn't go on to do well. Justin Timberlake went on to do very well. Britney Spears went on to do very well. Just because you started Disney doesn't mean you don't do well. Kurt Russell did a ton of those Disney teeny bopper movies before he was ever in Big Trouble in Little China.
Well, granted, I'm not saying that being in a TV show is going to hurt your career, but it doesn't necessarily help it either. I mean, Sheila Booth's co-star from Even Stevens, Christy Carlson Romano. She had the whole record deal with Disney, the whole bit. Have you ever actually heard her name before me saying it a few seconds ago?
I'd never heard of the show Even Stevens before you mentioned it a few seconds ago.
Now, I will admit that Shia LaBeouf does get a little bit of cred with me because, well, at least he's not some drug-addled, down-on-his-luck moron. That comes in another 5 years.
What, when they stop making Transformer movies?
Exactly. Now, while these movies were not big blockbusters, they also did do a lot better than some of the other 70s reboots that were out there, like SWAT and Starsky and Hutch.
And T.J. Hooker the movie.
That one didn't actually happen, thank God.
No, but it was a great gag in Charlie's Angels.
Yes, it was.
There were presumably good gags in each of these movies. The ending of Starsky and Hutch cracks me up. The original actors sell their car to the movie actors.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that as I was shutting off the VCR.
Yeah, that didn't make the rest of the movie worth watching, you're right.
Although, if you do happen to find it on HBO, tuning in for the last 5 minutes just for that one gag might be worth your time if there's nothing else on TV and you're an insomniac. So we had Charlie's Angels in 2000, Charlie's Angels Full Throttle in 2003, and now we have 2011.
Charlie's Angels Fully Exposed.
Oh, sorry, I went to a happy place there for a second. The new series stars
Annie Alonzo as Kate Prince, a former Miami cop, Minka Kelly from Friday Night Lights as Eve French, a street racer, Rachel Taylor as Abigail Abby Sampson, a thief, and Ramon Rodriguez as John Bosley.
So apparently some of the Bosleys went south of the border. Now, how much of this is going to be mystery and how much of this is going to be action-adventure? I think it's probably going to be about 50-50. At least they have one cop on the team.
Well, they've got cops and robbers, street racer, and a Bosley.
Yeah, you have to have a cop and a robber. That way you can have that internal conflict that every TV show seems to need these days. I mean, heaven forbid that you have a team that actually works together as a team.
The whole cop and robber working together, though, that dynamic has done very well on television.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, but I kind of miss the three cops working together concept. But that's not to say that I think that this is going to be a bad show. I'm sure that Ken would say that this is going to be a bad show because Alfred Goff and Miles Miller developed the show. They were the people who did Smallville.
Yeah, so I like their Aquaman pilot. Although I do notice that you say here that it's going to be a reboot rather than a revival or a sequel. So I assume that means that in this one, Jill Monroe can actually stay around for several years and only leave after like 3 years if she wants because they don't have to follow the old continuity.
It means that there's not going to be a Jill Monroe.
And I'm thinking, why does it have to be one or the other? Why do they even have to say?
You know, one of the things that I actually liked about the movies was the fact that they said, okay, yeah, we do things differently than the Charlie's Angels TV show did, but we acknowledge them and, yeah, they are part of our continuity. But they didn't feel the need to do that until the second movie. They just kind of ignored it in the first movie.
Well, it was still John Forsythe as the voice of Charlie Townsend, which gave it a sense of continuity. But I've seen the first episode of Charlie's Angels. It started in medias res. They were already there working.
But that's not to say that they couldn't turn around and end up doing the same thing later on anyway. For all we know, this could be Charlie Townsend Jr., and he's carrying on the family business. You don't have to come right out and say that in the beginning.
It's kind of like Team Knight Rider.
Oh god, do you really need to doom this show by comparing it to Team Knight Rider?
Well, it's starting in medias res, but maybe they'll acknowledge what came before it.
I mean, we're doing a Torpcast on this show. Aren't they doomed enough as it is?
True enough, we did discuss Team Knight Rider on the KitCast.
Honestly, in a weird sort of way, I'm looking forward to Charlie's Angels, because
it'll have boobs.
Well, that too. But I liked Charlie's Angels, not for the jiggle factor. I was too young to actually acknowledge what the jiggle factor was. I enjoy a good mystery. I like the idea of people getting together and working as a team together.
I will just let you know about the mysteries on Charlie's Angels. The mysteries that impressed you when you're 6 and 7 don't impress nearly as well when you're in your late 30s or early 40s.
Yeah, but they were drawing in an audience that were looking at boobs and not caring about the mystery. They didn't have to try it that hard.
Granted, but I'm just saying from the point of view that you were at, because my 2 years difference in age from you, when it was first on, yeah, it was on. I didn't get to really appreciate the show until it was on reruns on Channel 9 a few years later, and I hit puberty. If I knew who any of these people were, Annie Alonze, I don't know. I've never seen Friday Night Lights, so I'm not sure who Minka Kelly is. Rachel Taylor.
Unfortunately, people in our 40s aren't going to recognize these names, but I have a feeling that people who are in their teens and 20s will probably recognize at least two of them.
On each character.
Okay, I think we've hit our quota of boob jokes for this episode.
Hey, just for the record, when we were watching the original Charlie's Angels, who was your favorite angel?
Cheryl Ladd.
I preferred Jacqueline Smith, personally.
So did I, but this is you and I, and we run... Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie's Angels will premiere on Thursday, September 22nd, which happens to be the 35th anniversary of the debut of the original show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
As always, we encourage your feedback. Please write jim@twerponline.net. We can also be found on Facebook, MySpace, Zanga, and Twitter.
This has been a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2011.
Jigglevision.
Okay, it just wouldn't be a Twerpcast with Ken here if he didn't break into song.
I didn't sing a word. Was there a single word in there?
No.
Okay.
I heard Dana.